Hello. Fred Kuhn interviews our next guest expert. And now, here's Fred.
Welcome, everybody. Again, we continue the topic today of multi-generational workplace issues. And to address this in a little different way is Jethro Lloyd. Jethro is the CEO of iLab. iLab's a quality assurance consulting firm with offices in the United States, South Africa, Brazil, Australia, and the United Kingdom. Under his leadership, it's grown from 15 persons to 800 innovators, strategists, and quality leaders. Quite a growth pattern. Jethro, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. I believe that you are our first international guest. So let's talk for a little bit about what the differences are in the generations within your 800 folks, and how are those generations cooperating? Now, when you first started, what was the situation and what is it now?
So when we first started, one of the most interesting parts of joining the organization was, or sort of taking over and leading the organization, was that I was certainly the youngest person in the company for a very long time. Doing what we do, the requirement for people with many years of experience was certainly how we recruited, because when we first started, most of our clients believed that how old you were or the number of years you'd been in the work environment was certainly directly correlated to your experience and what you could bring to the table being consultant. So when we first started the business, our recruitment drove a lot of older generations. So people that, you know, we now deem heading towards retirement or in that phase of their employ. And it was kind of straightforward, because that generation still is, you know, grew up very differently to the current generation. So they understood that if somebody had more years of experience, then that would be somebody that would lead them. They would respect their decisions. They would follow their instructions. Where we are right now, our business spans across all generations. Our youngest employee probably is around 20 years old, and our oldest actually sits with us in Brazil at 76 years old. So we've got the full range of generation. And it has brought about some interesting discussions, and it continues to bring around interesting discussions because of all these generations working with each other. And I think our biggest challenge that we're dealing with right now is people that are younger leading people that are slightly older or older. And that's been an interesting journey for us.
What were some of the situations that you found that you just mentioned?
Well, for me personally, taking over the business at 25, you know, when the business first started, was at a very different direction, and it was employed to bring it back by the board of directors into the software quality assurance space. My first experience with dealing with these different generations was somebody that was about 20 or 25 years my senior, that did not believe that somebody that was young could ever lead an organization, and the credibility that I had to create or I had to demonstrate to these individuals was probably one of my toughest experiences through the business. Post that, I think it gave me a lot of lessons in life to realize that the acumen of the person or the emotional intelligence of the person is really the age that you're looking for rather than the number of years. Currently, we've got some senior people in leadership that are in their late 20s, but their emotional intelligence is somewhat higher than some of the people that I have that are sitting in their late 40s. And identifying that in your talent pool and seeing the value of that emotional intelligence versus number of years and how you can apply that to your business is far more valuable. But you have to be open to identify those things. I think, you know, there used to be an incredible trend in the market where a number of years of experience was something that you needed to see on the resume, and that was the reason why you employed somebody versus maybe the experience of the person. And I think there's a fundamental difference between those two things.
I want to follow. How do you test? How do you know that this 25-year-old has much more EQ than the 46-year-old?
So that's the tough question. That's the million-dollar question. I think for me, and certainly what we try to do in our organization, we look to life experience in addition to work experience. And that emotional intelligence is often, certainly you build those skills because you've had to deal with some things more in your life than, for want of a better term, a perfect life. you know, one where your parents have guided you through everything and taken care of everything for you and made sure that any time there's a bit of difficulty that you've been cared for and they've taken care of those things. So we try ask a lot more questions about who the person is and do testing of who the individual is. What have they experienced? How do they deal with things? How have they coped with difficulties in their life? How do they handle conflict? One of my biggest challenges with the newer generations is conflict has been taught, or how to manage conflict has been taught very differently to when I grew up in South Africa, where conflict was very much part of your life and you had to learn the mechanisms to cope with these things. So it's more than a, do you have the necessary skills? Do you have the right development skills? It's also about who are you as a person? What do you do in your life? How do you deal with your life? What do you have in your personal life that makes you a fully rounded person?
Jethro, how do you see, let's just follow on a little deeper into that rabbit hole. How do you see the differential between your generation and this younger generation you described in dealing with conflict? What is their response to conflict?
I think if I look at this new generation, they have definitely tried to raise them without ever needing to deal with, not all, please, this is a generalization, but parents have tended to take care of things that have been difficult. If I look at some of my friends that have children that are in their 20s, and I have siblings through marriage that are in their 20s, often when things went wrong or when they couldn't achieve something or they weren't the best, their parents would either take them away from that so that they weren't emotionally challenged by it, or solve the problem for them. And the big difference between my generation and certainly this one is my parents left me to figure it out a lot more than this generation does. We've even had an instance in our organization where a young employee, things weren't going right, and there was a disciplinary action to try help them to right some of their bad behavior, and a parent actually reached out to the HR manager and got involved. So it's a very different generation. I think they've got other challenges, but they don't have the same challenges as my generation. But they definitely struggle with very difficult direct conflict or direct criticism on how they work and what is expected of them. So we've had to manage our communication style. It's the same message that you would to my generation, but you've got to say it in a different way. This generation certainly likes the challenge, but sometimes they don't necessarily love the journey to reach that challenge and the time required in order to become an expert in something. So we have to keep them engaged and involved. And where we find we have greater success is where we add more meaning to what they're doing, as opposed to let's just do it.
What do you describe as meaning, Jethro?
So we have to find what we want them to do and the meaning to them of what they want to do in their career. And hopefully those two things coincide. In addition to that, we add meaning in our socioeconomic development things that we do in our organization, whether it be saving rhinos and elephants, which is part of our, you know, nonprofit part of our business, getting them involved, that they understand that the work that they're doing has a greater meaning beyond just earning a salary. So we definitely have a generation where we cannot necessarily just offer higher pay in order for them to do what we need them to do. We have to offer them a combination of that as well as something else, something that they can own, something they can take ownership of, something that they can be responsible for. And that has been our biggest challenge and what we continue to try to figure out as we go along.
Are there any techniques or tactics that you use within your own corporation to mitigate or resolve these conflicts between multiple generations?
Yes. I think the most important thing that we do emphasize in our organization is transparency and communication and safety. One of the biggest reasons why my generation never stood up to an older generation is because you didn't necessarily feel safe that if you did criticize somebody that was older than you, that the consequence would not be you're out of work. And so we grew up with that mentality that if somebody was ahead of me, they were better, they were the boss, you had to follow their rules, and that was the way it is, even if it was a bad rule or a bad decision. So we create a safe environment, and we create the environment where people are allowed to criticize or at least object to what has been presented to them, but they have to come up with a solution. They have to come up with an alternative. They have to come up with a different idea. You see, outright rejection of a principle or an idea or thought process is certainly not acceptable here. But outright non-acceptance of it with a solution or with an alternative is acceptable. And if you create a safe environment where we can criticize each other constructively with respect, and you have the safety both for the person that's in leadership or in a position that's making decision, as well as the people that are questioning some of those decisions, you end up in an environment where people are contributing to the value and the benefits of the business, as opposed to sitting there fearful of decisions they make or criticism they make. I always say that iLab is a wonderful organization because you have all the autonomy in the world that you're looking for, but with an enormous amount of responsibility. That was always the thing that I've never understood. Everybody wants autonomy, but nobody's emphasizing the responsibility that comes with that autonomy. And that's what we try to work with. Take responsibility. Take ownership of your mistake. Acknowledge your mistake and talk through your mistake and hopefully you don't make those mistakes again. So that's what we try to do. Do we always get it right? No, absolutely not. With the multiple generations working in different ways of communicating with each other, we certainly have the conflict. But we've invested in our HR department and our support staff and our leadership not to be people that are managing the HR process or the HR administration, but being directly involved with putting the teams together in conflict resolution and time with individuals. I personally spend time with a lot of younger individuals in our organization, understanding what their aspirations are, because they're going to be the future leaders of our business. And they themselves need to also be mentored and time spent with them. So we encourage that to happen across the organization. I hope I've answered your question.
Oh, you certainly have in spades. Thank you very much. The next one I have is, are you a futurist in the sense, do you have any thoughts about what you think the future is going to bring in this regard? And what do leaders need to do to engage all of their employees more directly? It's kind of a combination question, but if you don't mind.
No worries. You know, what I see the younger generation feels a lot more strongly about world events and a lot more strongly about the environment, a lot more strongly about purpose in everything that they're doing in the future. I definitely hope and pray that no longer will you be a leader because you happen to be of the right race, group, or age, but you're a leader for the competence and the ability that you bring to the table. And that's my hope for the future. My worry or my concern for the future would be that there is definitely, in my belief, a definite lack of sense of responsibility in certain things that occur, certainly in businesses. And I fear that as a current leader, my job with the new generation is to teach them responsibility, to take ownership of what they do and acknowledge the fact that as much there are things that you do in your job that are going to be hard. And not everything is going to be fun and meaningful and full of purpose. And there's going to be activities that require you to self-sacrifice. One of the hardest lessons that all leaders need to make is it's not about you. It's never been about you. It's about all the people that report into you and all the people that you're responsible for. And you have to take your ego out of your decision and your ego out of your communication. And you need to give of yourself in order to ensure that there are leaders for tomorrow. And that's the hardest lesson that we try to do with our leaders is take your ego out of your thinking and think about what you're giving back to these individuals so that they in turn learn and so forth and so forth. So for the future, I'm hoping that the new generation takes a lot more responsibility and goes into leadership positions and they do it better than the generation before, that we're learning from mistakes, the failures in some of our leadership in the generations before, and we do better going forward.
Folks, we have been spending the last 15 minutes, actually 16 minutes, with a really accomplished executive. And by the way, Jethro, you're not the first CEO that I've heard these comments from, so where there's smoke, there's fire. So I really appreciate it. You've been listening to Jethro Lloyd in our Workplace Strategies interview, and Jethro is the CEO of iLab. So thank you very much, Jethro, for joining us today, and we hope you'll join us again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for visiting with us. We welcome your comments and suggestions and look forward to having you join us soon at Workplace Strategies.